Thank you so much, BBS, for broadcasting this show. Another one-hour win-free episode of If You Have Questions, We Have Answers. Today it is December the 13th, 2017. My name is Gijs Minderhout. And I just heard another person join in here on the simulcast we have with the conference call. Welcome to this call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil, C6D Serpent from Seattle.
Hello, Cecil. Good evening to you and welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
All right. Cecil, I'm going to play a little tune for you. But as soon as another person joins in, I'm going to stop it and keep the lines open.
Great. Do it.
All right. So that was for Cecil. We had a few more people join in here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda, Boulder Creek, California.
Welcome, Dharmananda. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome to the call, Wynn.
And I think I'm going to have to drive home because Terry is not answering her phone.
Okay.
That's not a good sign.
Huh?
That's not a good sign.
No. Well,
neither does it have to be a bad one.
No, that's
she
true, too.
She turns it off when we do a channeling, and then she forgets to turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she forgets.
Oh, how far are you away from your home, Kevin?
I'm leaving. I'll see you. I'll stay on the line, okay?
All right. Be safe, my friend. Who else joined in after Wynn? Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's Oren in Austin, Texas.
Hello, Oren. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Good to have you. Is it the Oren from years back?
Don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. Welcome to this call. Can somebody else join in? Welcome. Go ahead.
It's Cleo from Connecticut. How are you?
Hi, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Back to you, Oren. Is it the very first time you call into one of the conference calls?
The second, third time, I was pretty much quiet.
Okay. Well, thank you for speaking. That'd be welcome, you.
Thank you so much.
And I welcome all those that are listening in on the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you for joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie from Washington.
Welcome to the call, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And more people join in, please say name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
Anonymous.
Hello, Anonymous. We welcome you.
Anonymous, is this your first time on the call? Probably so. All right.
And we have Oren, who spoke up for the first time today. He has been listening to a few conference calls.
Melina and Levi here from New Mexico.
Welcome to the call again. What's your name?
Melina and Levi.
Hello, Melina. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
More people joining in. Welcome to you all. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, Hive, from Sedona.
Welcome to the call, Raiden.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. More people joined in. If you want to, say your name and location. So just to those that just came in, welcome. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas. Oh, sorry, Terry. Terry
in Sedona.
Hello, John, and hello, Teddy. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Terry.
Thank you.
Terry, are you on the call?
Yeah.
Oh, good, because I was just going to drive home. I figured your ringer was off.
No. I
call?
I saw that. Yeah, I know. You called three times. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Glad that you're here.
Thank you.
And let's see, yes, so we had more callers joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don. Thank you for being here. Anyone else? Welcome you. And the next person that joined in, welcome. If you want to, please say name and location.
Hey, Charles Glenn in Florida.
Welcome to the call, Charles, man.
Pardon me?
Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thank you for being here.
Right.
Helen in Virginia Beach.
Hello, Helen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And all those listening in on BBS Radio, thank you for being here. The next person that came in, welcome. If you want to, please say name and location.
Hi, it's Susan in Virginia.
Hello. Hi, Susan. Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the conference call. Please say name and location.
Deb in Oregon.
Hello, Deb. Good evening.
Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And thank you, Ben and Ted, for being here.
Oh, well.
You you guys are doing a tremendous job, and it's all goodwill. That is really awesome, and I appreciate it. I know everybody appreciates it that comes into the calls.
I hope we're not crazy.
Well, we know you are.
We all are.
We're going to start in 1 minute.
Your console dropped out. Be aware.
I know. I'm back on again.
Okay.
But I was just going out to my car, and I turned my computer off, and now it's on.
All right. And the next caller that came in, welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Terry.
All right. And those that just came on board through BBS, thank you for being here. We'll be starting the show here shortly. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, Rick. Hi, Iowa City.
Hello. Good evening, Rick. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to play a 20-second tune, Wynn.
Okay.
20 seconds?
Yes.
Go ahead. Let's get it over with. I want to start.
Oh, he was the first on board. We're welcome to the next floor. Please say name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Good evening. Welcome. Yeah, listen to this, Roger. For you.
Say again.
Love is awesome.
That's nice.
Beautiful. Make the world go around.
And Roger, I think it is meant for you, the song.
Thank you.
Now, what went through my mind, being as irreverent as I am sometimes, I was thinking, maybe I should write a song for the love of sex. No?
Yeah,
all right.
That's okay with me.
Nobody hung up.
Your title doesn't say tell me enough, Vin.
But do you know, don't ask me any questions about this, but there was a guy who is kind of semi-well-known, who was very advanced in his understanding of a lot of things. And he would talk about wormholes to get through the dimensions. And he said that sex was the best way, orgasm, okay? And I went and asked a question about it. I said, how accurate is that guy in what he says? You know, sometimes people who are channeling whatever, and I'm not sure about them, I'll ask a question. And then sometimes they'll say, well, about 70%, 80%, 40%. We don't even want to go there. It's negative, you know. And so when I asked about this guy, I said, how accurate was he? Terry, do you remember? It was like 90 or 95%, which is an incredibly high number, okay? So in any case,
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do, but you don't remember. But okay.
I think I know who you're talking about, Wynn.
No, you don't, John.
I think that's the same guy that you get. Remember that several years ago you gave me that guy who was responsible for all these new discoveries, about how mathematics is, you know, in the universe? But I can look his name up, but I think it's the same guy.
I know his name. I don't want to.
Same guy who said that the universe is a dodecahedron.
I don't remember.
That's the same guy. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Okay, but I don't want to get into that. We got a lot of questions tonight. Okay.
Okay.
I'm hanging up. I'm muting everybody.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
And this is December 13th, 2017, when Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this is the call where we actually do live sessions with our sources. And since we have some new people on the line tonight, I just wanted to share a little bit. There is a tendency in all of us to want to give up our power to a source like the ones we talk to. In fact, sometimes we want to give up our power to anyone as if someone else can save us. And in the long history I have in my communications with our sources, and this is going on now 13 years, what I have learned is each of us is a creator. Each of us creates our reality. And there is no way, no positive way, to surrender your sovereignty to anything outside of yourself. There's negative ways, but not positive ways. And that when we ask questions that are like prophetic, they usually don't answer, okay? They don't answer because they say anything can change. Now, something that goes against some of the common ideas about life is that there's such a thing as God's, this is my opinion here, there's such a thing as God's plan, there's such a thing as meant to be, there's such a thing as, I don't know what else, but if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. And all of those ideas, from my experience, tempt one to give up their power. Every day is a new creation of the universe. And every day is your job to figure out how to make the best of that day. And one of the things that's challenging, we've learned that there are a lot of people that have taken incarnations. When I say a lot, I mean tens of millions who came in from the higher realms that didn't necessarily have to, but chose to incarnate to be of service here. And once they're here, they forget that that's where they came from. They forget that they're from higher dimensions. It's still with them. It's still in their unconscious. But when they get into this realm, they tend to get really confused because things, when you're of that dispensation, and you don't necessarily have to consciously know it, but when you're in that dispensation, there is this inherent desire to make some kind of contribution to this realm. And other things are boring. And it can be hard to figure out how to contribute to this realm because so much of it does not reflect back that higher purpose. I tell people, I said this in the past, go to a convalescent home and just talk to some of the old people. Bring a book of poems and read them, poems. You know, people like that are so grateful for attention that you'll lift their spirits and then you'll lift your own. And like sometimes people who come in from higher realms get certain kind of jobs, like a hotel concierge or a taxi driver or a musician where they can bring in higher dimensional frequencies or an artist, you name it. But most often, they end up feeling stuck, alienated, no one understands me, and many of the people that are attracted to our group are of that dispensation. And it's not like it's an ego trip to be from a higher dimension. If you start to understand your nature, you can then look at how do I direct my life to fulfilling that mission that I came in here for. It's like when it comes to making money, can you figure out a way of making money that also serves people? You know, because if you're of that dispensation, most often, most jobs will be totally boring and feel like a waste of time. And when people are asking their questions, we have new people asking their questions tonight. Oftentimes, they feel so stuck, and they want the Elohim to tell them, tell me what to do. And if they told you what to do, then you now are giving up your sovereignty. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, and some will work, and some won't work. But the one thing that's guaranteed not to work is to sit in your own miasms and not reach and experiment. Do you realize you have this miracle, just the fact that you're a spirit in a body, and here you are on this planet. And yes, there are a lot of dreadful things that happen on this planet. And you have to create outside of them. You can know about them. I know about them. But I have to work around them. You're here to make a difference. You're not here to be against the Illuminati or to be against... And if being against them helped, I'd say, go ahead and be against them. But all it does is hurts you from fulfilling a positive expression. You end up getting polarized with what you're against. And so now, let me go to our questions for tonight. And, you know, the Elohim, we're actually talking to a blend of two group souls, okay? And one of them is the Elohim, who described himself as a celestial source at the very beginning of creation, who existed as consciousness, awareness, and energy before there was a physical universe. That's what they say. Took me a long time to believe it. You should kick my tires. It should take you a while to believe it, okay? But be open to the possibility. And you can, how do you believe it? Well, listen to their answers to questions. Gauge them. Feel if they have an agenda. You know, I've asked them really sophisticated questions, and they are always able to answer, okay? And let me say, I just spaced out here. What was I saying? The other group soul is the Ra group. And this is not the Ra of the Amun Ra in Egypt. That Ra was what you could call negative. But there is a Ra group outside of that. And they were mimicking that in order to get attention from the people. The priests were using the name Ra. But in any case, the Ra group is a group soul that's made up of graduates of our realm, souls that got off the wheel of reincarnation, and they teamed together on the other side, millions of them, in order to try to serve planetary populations that were still stuck in cycles of reincarnation, okay? And so, from my first introduction to all of this was when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and David Wilcock said he was channeling the Ra group. And then I discovered another woman who was channeling the Ra group, Carla Ruckert, and I started studying it all because I wanted to understand it when I wrote that book. And I was just at the beginning stages for a few years trying to put it all together. So we came up with Jesus was very highly connected with the Ra group. And sometimes people have interpreted these groups to be God. But in my case, neither one expresses themselves to be God. And what is the benefit from making the connection with these sources? Well, there's two benefits. We have loads of information about how everything works that, to my knowledge, has never been in this realm before. It kind of is an overview of religion, theology, New Age, you name it. It's at the highest level understanding of how it all works. And particularly if you're an older soul or if you came in from a higher dimension, as you get these understandings, you start to have epiphanies because your intuitive level says, yes, it's what I've always been looking for. People, you send me emails, I've been looking for this all my life. Is it what you've been looking for? I don't know. See, check it out. But I would suggest, you know, we have an archive page of all our calls, thespiritchannel.net, and when people get how far out this is, sometimes they send me emails, I listened to all 1,500 of your calls that were posted. And some of them are awesome, and some of them are okay. You know, there's times when we've had channelings, and they were totally breakthrough. And one of our projects that has really been, unfortunately, on the back burner is trying to catalog these calls better because it's hard to distinguish what's most important to listen to. Right now, if you go to the Spirit Channel, usually it says Monday call, Wednesday call, Sunday call. And in some cases, they're titled where you get some idea what happened on the call. But in many cases, they're not, and they are awesome. So you can try listening to the beginning of one and see if it starts to bring you into it. Okay, so let's get started. Terry, can you hear me okay? Hello, Terry.
Yeah, there, I unmuted, okay.
Okay, now put your mic closer to your lips.
Okay, how's that?
That's better. Okay.
Okay.
And most of you know who Terry is, but just in case you don't, Terry and I have been friends for a long time, and one day we were sleeping together, and she woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "Get the tape recorder out." And suddenly she started channeling, and they said it was the Elohim. And you know, we went through this for about 2 months. And at one point, I asked, "Was Terry ever anybody famous?" And they said, "Look up St. Catherine." And she was the spitting image of St. Catherine of Siena, who was a channel that used to go into the local Catholic church in Siena, Italy. And the priests would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. Well, I studied St. Catherine, and I became totally convinced. And this is a situation where it doesn't mean every lifetime she's had, she did something exalted. Things have to be just right for that to happen. But in that lifetime, things got just right. Other lifetimes, she said, you know, when you come into this realm, something has to, like the sources have to make their decision if they want to work through a person or not. Some people want the Elohim, I want to be a channel, I want the Elohim to talk to me. Most people would not know what to do with it if it happened. I didn't know for quite some time, and I'm still learning. So, you know, I knew Terry for 30 years, and then it wasn't until after Daphne made this introduction that Terry started channeling, because on some level, they thought that I was a good person to bring this out into the world. They called me a cosmic midwife, okay? So let's get started here. We do a little invocation of protection. And, oh, I wanted to say about the Elohim and the Ra group, one of the things that happens to all of us that we are totally unaware of is that we all have, I think I can say all, maybe not all, but most of us have a team on the other side. The team can be your relatives, your former relatives, people that loved you or you loved in a past life that are hanging around you. It can be angels. And at the highest level of team are these two group souls. And on this work, people are getting the opportunity to increase the scope of their teams and connect with these group souls. And when you have a team, your team can help you, can add energy to your intentions. Now, our higher sources have the stipulation that it's for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. So they don't do everything you might ask them to do. But when they do something, you most definitely know it, okay? And, you know, when I was first with Daphne and I needed to make money and we didn't have any money, I said, "Couldn't you guys help me with the horse races?" And they said that would send you back to previous lifetimes, patterns of previous lifetimes, which wouldn't be good for what you do. What would be your highest purpose this lifetime? So we have a lot of new people tonight, and I may not be getting to some of you who are our founders, because I want to give the new people chance to ask a question. Although, when somebody who's a regular asks a question that's really important to them for this, you know, the, like a health issue or some big conflict, I might ask it, okay? Okay. Now, here's a question from Charles Glenn, and I don't have the city.
He's in Florida.
Let me write that down. And this is one of those questions. I'll read this question, then I'll make a comment, and then I'll turn it over to our sources. Do you think the people, souls on planet Earth will wake up enough in my lifetime to stop killing one another in wars, crime, etc.? Or will a higher power have to do that, and when? This is one of those things, questions, that we, like, how do I say this? How do people on the earth wake up? The Elohim does not jump in and wake somebody up. The person would probably be scared shitless if they suddenly felt some external presence. People like me have the ability to wake people up. Now, I need to have another book come out. I need to go out and be talking more. And I'm busy between doing all this, trying to make sure our bills are paid. So I feel handicapped. But whether it's me or someone else, someone, it's going to happen because we do it. Okay? And anything can happen. Heck, you know, next week some billionaire might discover me and say, this is the most important thing to get out there, and suddenly I have all kinds of backing. You know, this is the free will zone here. So you never know what's going to happen. But the question is, okay, let me just ask that question and let our sources answer. You think people, souls on planet Earth will wake up enough in this lifetime to stop killing one another in wars, crime, etc.? Or will a higher power have to do that, and when?
This, the last word, when, W-H-E-N?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your question. We do not see that as a group people are going to wake up, and they have their own individual gripes and beefs and karma that in some manner when there is a war or there is a someone like ISIS, it creates more of the same. As the people that it is done to then experience the energy of it and are very upset, will a higher power need to come in? And when the higher powers are here, but they're a co-creative, someone needs to contact them or ask and needs to listen in order for the higher wisdoms to come through. When one is passionate about their training or what has been done to them, and then they seek to hold the energy against others. It just is a ongoing worsening of the problem. It is an individual thing. We see there are some things that could be done that would ease the situation. One of them would be for the media to stop broadcasting the upsetting news. Another would be for some of the perpetrators to wake up. Now, the perpetrators often have been so trained or so egotistical that they need to learn the lessons from interaction and eventually see that this does not work for them. Thank you.
And Charles, for your second question, could you ask that again next week, okay? Because we have a lot of questions tonight. And thank you for your question. Next here, let's see, is, this is from Helen Yeager. And Helen's a longtime person coming to our calls. And she talks about her daughter, Denise, and said her deceased mother and father come to her in tears and tell her that your mother is very sick and she's not telling anyone. My question is, first of all, she says, what are they referring to? The first question should be, are her parents really coming to her daughter? Second one is, are their perceptions correct? And the third one is, I'm putting in these extra questions here. This is her question. What are they referring to? I'm pointing out how easy it is to give up your power when something like this happens. You have to test it. And she says, I'm 74, and after two bad accidents in less than 2 years and related injuries, I'm not sure what it could be. I was in the hospital working on some of my physical injuries, and they said my blood work, my blood pressure, and organs were all excellent after x-rays and MRI. All the x-rays and MRI showed were broken bones. I don't want to go to a doctor with this and have done dozens of tests, and I don't trust the medical system. So, is there something I should be worried about, okay, that I don't know about?
Thank you. We do not wish to evaluate for what is happening with your daughter's perceptions. We suggest that your own view of your own health is paramount, and that if another is seeing it in a slanted way, that perhaps you can tell your daughter your own perception of your own health. Share with her some of the results that show excellent results so that she may gain more confidence in your general state of health and elicit conversation from her that she may express her own concerns, and you may eventually get on the same page.
Thank you. There's a question from a person that said he was from an indigenous tribe, indigenous person from the United States, but he didn't tell me the tribe or his city. Could you please, let me just make sure if he didn't do that. When you submit a question, please submit your city, because they need that to help tune into you, okay? And let me see. All right. Charles is in Spring Hill, Florida. But I'm going to ask that question next week, Charles, okay? Thank you for understanding. Next question is from, let's see here. This is from Mark Sebular from Europe, Slovenia. Please ask the Elohim if they hear me all the time when I meditate. And my request for the recovery of a friend who is in a wheelchair, who I am hitting with love energy in my meditative state.
Thank you. We do hear your prayers, and we do visit your friend in the wheelchair. We see that he is very weak. We appreciate, we see your prayers as a light, and the things that are important to you and your compassion for your friend. We again send a burst of love light to your friend in the wheelchair, to his body, to his legs, to his hip, to his spine. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Richard, who is a regular on our call. Richard Jeffries. I forget what city he's in, but you probably can tune into him because he comes to lots of our calls. And he says, it seems that I am protected from negative attacks. However, someone close to me, now he didn't say who, but then he clarified that. I asked him, he said it was his daughter who is living in Los Angeles, is getting what might be negative attacks. Is this a common occurrence as a way of getting to the protected one? In this case, me. If so, what steps can I take to shield, cleanse this person close to me?
Thank you. Los Angeles is an area which right now is under some attack from the negative in connection with the fires. This can bleed over there are factors beyond your own personal situation or your own personal protection. In the city of Los Angeles, there are areas that are open to attack at this time that have nothing to do with you. There may be some but once the negative has made inroads in the area of the fires, the smoke, the inhalation of polluted air in Los Angeles right at this time, the fear from North Korea at this time, they leave a person open for further negative influence. So we recommend a healing at all of those levels for your daughter and keep on with your marvelous protection and send love light to your daughter and stay in communication for any things you may wish to convey. Thank you.
You know, one thing, Richard, is that if you could get your daughter to come into Whole Planet Healing. In fact, the best way to do it is to conference her in. Let me know she's going to be there, and I'll make a special effort to greet her and make her feel comfortable. Don't tell her to call. Conference her in, and let me know in advance that she's going to be on the line, and I will make sure to be really specially warm to her. So if she can get into the vibe of it and she decides to come back, it might give her some protection. Okay, next question. This is from Barbara Stevens in Silver Springs, Maryland. Now, Barbara, this is one of those kinds of questions where you're thinking that they know the answer, and that but in fact, you are the one creating the answer to this question. And it depends on many decisions that you will make, I would suspect, about whether it will work or not. But I'll ask the question, and then I'll turn it over to them. I'm about to borrow $4,500 to make money. Will my venture be successful?
Thank you. There are factors that may affect it, such as the economy, but there are other factors to make sure you are confident that the things you set up will be wanted and used by people. We suggest that you make perhaps an initial survey. To get more confident about the result if you go forward full play, full speed.
Thank you. Now here we have two similar questions. Here's a mysterious question from Eddie B. What is a human's mysterious usefulness? And is there a non-physical agenda working this usefulness? Eddie, I tell you, there's a lot there to be answered. But if I was going to narrow it down, to just say a human who has a high intention. And one of the things that makes life meaningful, it's kind of a game here, that when we create value, real value for another person, then we know we're being useful. To me, a lot of life is how do we create value for others? And it's not just about being nice or being doing what other people want. It's like Terry creates value for me. I create value for Terry. When you're in this realm and you're not creating value, are you creating value for your boss? Of course, that's dollars and cents value sometimes. It's not the same kind of value. But what is the highest value you can find in yourself to create for others? And when you do that, you realize you're being useful. And is there non-physical agendas working? Well, as I said earlier, we can all have teams, and our teams can be helping us to create value. One of the things that people do is they wait till they're ready, and they're never ready. If they don't step out and do something, they just stay in the same recycled garbage, like lonely, alienated, depressed. So that's my answer. Let me turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. Of course, the more value you create for others, the more value you will feel. When you also create value for your own self, a joy with some creation, even a joy with healing a baked potato, or a joy with something that nourishes your body, so you are creating value and nourishment for your own body and taking care of your own self, is very helpful, and it promulgates you wishing to create value for others and your joy in being in the realm. What Wren said is also very pertinent. What use is a human being? It is something that is determined within and by each human being.
Thank you. Sometimes people try to think in terms of, like, there's an answer to that, like one answer fits all, and it doesn't. Every human being is individual on their own track, on their own path, on their own unfoldment, and you can't give an answer that's true for everyone. Everyone has to discover their own way of creating value, okay? And
For others.
We only have a short time left. We're actually should be finished, but I want to ask this question for John Siboransky. And I told John that sometimes it seems he's stuck in fear. Now, that doesn't mean I'm right. That was just a perception. But he asks, what is the source of that fear, and what can I do about it?
Thank you. You have it created for you every day by the media, by the negative that are shaking up confidence and trust in their fellow men, in the act of ISIS. They are creating a mistrust of people in interaction. The fires are creating a mistrust of environment. The media in saying in their pronouncements that the market was going to crash are creating fear. There is a feeling among the elite that people are more easily controlled when they are in fear because it paralyzes them and they don't act. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to go to Whole Planet Healing right now, and we'll be reading a message from the Elohim on that call, and doing an exercise in group energy and visualize group visualization for the upliftment of ourselves and our planet. And I take, when you come to the Whole Planet Healing call and you realize that you make a difference, you're part of the energy, you're giving your time and your energy to a higher purpose, it's a beginning way of creating value, okay? We're actually doing that. You are doing that, but you have to experience it. You have to get it inside yourself. Okay. On that note, is there anything else? Oh, Hives, are you there?
Yes, Jim.
You have the phone number for Whole Planet Healing?
Yes, so the phone number is 1-712-770-4340, and the access code is 250-513-pound. Or go to wholeplanethealing.com and see the information. Thank you all very much.
Wholeplanethealing.com has got the phone numbers on it. Wholeplanethealing.com. If you didn't get it from Hives, just go there right now, and you'll get the numbers. Okay? So on that note, we will see you all.
All callers are unmuted.
As many of you.
Thank you, Wynn and Terry.
Thank you, Wynn and Terry.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry. Thank you. Love
you're
you.
Love to everyone.
Hey,
thanks,
Wynn.
Thanks, Wynn and Terry.